Oh, man, this casting couch sounds like it's off the rails in the other room. It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Uh-oh, I need to talk DMX again. At 1:30, Minnesota sports teams are treading lightly after another senseless police shooting. In a mere minutes, it's time for our weekly chat with the great Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Oh, man, some great texts coming in. 337-3776. Keep them coming in. We're casting the Horn movie. Kevin and Paul on their podcast this week were casting each other, so we just expanded the idea and completely stole it from them. So thank you, fellas.
Stole it from a great show.
Stole it from a great show. We said we'd go to good sourcing, but now we're trying to cast everybody here on the Horn, and we've had a lot of great ideas thrown out today, including James Earl Jones as Craig Way. I think that would be a hell of a performance.
I feel like John Turturro is Craig right now.
John Turturro. I got to give myself a little credit there. That popped in my head as we started this thing. I love Turturro. I think he could pull it off.
Yeah.
And here's another weird one. Somebody said Matthew Broderick for Craig Way. Not back then, but think about right now. Think about what he looks like today.
There are worse options.
Right?
Yeah.
Good looking dude, but he's older now. He'll rot now. The glass, you have to change the glasses up. Craig doesn't wear glasses all the time like Matthew does, but they could figure it out.
Hey, I'm a big fan of whoever said Taylor Kitsch can play Trey. Thank you for that.
Taylor
Kitsch? A younger Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, you really should like that one.
I love that one.
He's handsome back in the day. They're saying basically the Ivan Drago.
Oh, Nate says Seth MacFarlane for Craig Way. That's an interesting choice.
That would be interesting. Yeah, Seth. I don't know that Seth could be serious enough to be Craig Way.
Who plays Jeff Ward?
Oh, I don't know.
Even though he's only a weekly guest, I feel like he gets his own casting job.
Well, let's ask. Let's go to the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline. It is Jeff Ward, Statesman News Network, jeffwardshow.com. Jeff Ward, who should play you in the movie?
Wow, didn't see that one coming. Okay, that's the obvious. That's either Macaulay Culkin or Randy Quaid.
Oh, interesting. Have you always been told you look like a particular actor?
No, because hopefully nobody knows what I look like. I told you what I've heard for years, that people that, I guess this is going to change since they're going to get to see me soon. But, for years, people have said when they see me or see a picture or whatever, which is intentionally rare, they say, man, I thought you were a fat old hippie. I love that. I love to go with that. I'm going to ride your fat old hippie as long as I can.
That's awesome.
Is that right? Is that why you went Randy Quaid there?
I don't know why I went Randy Quaid. I freaked out and just said the most bizarre person I could think of, and that's him, man. That guy's a piece of work.
Oh, yeah.
So really the choice all time should have been Jerry Garcia. If we're going to go with the stereotype, then Jerry Garcia should play you.
Yeah.
That's me. I really look like the guy that used to hang out at Liberty Lunch.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, Jeff, as we crank it up here on a Tuesday, there unfortunately is another big serious story around sports. And I feel like nowadays I would love to have Greg Popovich just comment on something happy. I would love for Greg Popovich to give me his thoughts on, wine occasionally or something else that he really loves and he's passionate about. But it seems like he's always talking about something that is so serious and so awful. And the events of the last few days created more comments from Greg Popovich. What do you make of that whole thing?
Well, first of all, does he not look like Albert Einstein on the sidelines?
Yes,
he does.
He's a tall, slender version of Albert Einstein, but that hair, man. I mean, speaking of hippies, wow. Greg, first of all, he just needs his own podcast. I mean, just like, come on, just get on with it and let's go and rant and be that angry old white guy like the rest of us. But, Greg Popovich, if say nothing else, Greg Popovich is consistent. And Greg Popovich is intellectually honest. He doesn't matter if you challenge him. It doesn't matter. He is going to be consistent, and he is going to be in your face, and he means it. So I give him props for that. His ranting through the years has fascinated me. It's because Greg Popovich makes me look tame and soft in his commentary. Greg Popovich has been able to get away with commenting on social issues, commenting on politics, he rips Donald Trump to the point that it looks like I love Trump. And I think Trump's a buffoon. But Greg Popovich has been able to do, you know, what he did this past week is nothing, as we know, is not new. I mean,
no.
If somebody just landed from Mars, they'd say, oh my gosh, why is the basketball coach with long hair going crazy? He's been doing this regularly for a long time. So he is sincere and he is consistent. But he has been able to get away with stuff that most other people could not get away with. For instance, he's never probably talked about or railed on in Fox News. The Fox News crowd doesn't rail on Greg Popovich. If LeBron James said the things that Greg Popovich is saying, they would tell him to shut up and play basketball. If Shaka Smart said those things, they would say shut up and coach. If anybody else but Greg Popovich said these things in social commentary, they would be chum in the water for the Fox News crowd. He's an old, crabby white guy who served, who was in the Air Force, and he's able to get away with, I don't even know if his bosses have ever said, hey, Greg, you're great at what you do. Let's be honest. I mean, if you make a short list of the best in the business, you take a look at Belichick and Popovich, they've had runs unlike anything we've seen in modern sports. They have been able to stay on top more than just about anybody else in sports. Their franchises, during their good runs, and I know it's over now, but during their good runs, they were able to stay on top unlike anybody else in the era of free agency. So they're the best at what they do, so he gets some credibility there. But he gets most of his credibility because he rails on social issues in a way, as an old white guy, that people let him get away with. Other people probably get fired for doing that. And in particular, people have been under a rock. I thought his latest rant was disconnected. It was almost out of control. He went from railing on the most recent shooting outside of Minneapolis, which is just freakishly tragic because the lady thought she was using her taser gun and she shot the guy. And it's just unbelievably incompetent. But he sort of meandered around and ended up on Greg Abbott, and just he goes off on, at times, nonsensical tirades. He needs a commercial break before he moves to the next subject. But I mean, it's been amazing to watch him get away with. White America won't rip Greg Popovich. White America would rip LeBron James or anybody else for saying these things.
I've noticed that over the last couple of years with him. We actually have a soundbite of him saying, have you ever heard of manslaughter?
You ever hear of manslaughter?
And the subject that he was speaking on with that was like, it was so left field, the connection that he was trying to make there. I don't know if it's old age or if him, yeah. if it's just yeah. him trying to take things further and further each time, but he has become a little bit less rational over time. And yeah. You know, I think there is a little bit of a political motivation at a certain point with him, like there is with all of us if we're allowed long enough to talk about something. But I think back to this last summer where, speaking to your point about how much he can get away with, where anybody who was saying that they were planning on standing for the national anthem was getting ripped roundly and essentially bullied into saying, oh, never mind. I'm actually going to kneel the next time I have the opportunity. Greg Popovich was one of the few NBA guys who continued to stand during the national anthem. And people were like, you know what? He's Greg Popovich. He served in the military and he kind of is his own entity. So we're allowing him to do this.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. I mean, this latest rant about this shooting. Look, I mean, we now know what happened. I thought the police department did all they could by getting in front of it and saying, you know, there's no investigation needed. She screwed up. She's fired. Although I think she just resigned in the last hour. Where he went with his rant, to your point, I don't know how he ended up on Greg Popovich. I mean, I don't know how he ended up on Greg Abbott and gun control. It didn't make much sense. But it's been amazing, you know, if you're in the radio business and you're supposed to be talking about sports and you talk about something else, as you guys know, as soon as I'm off, you're going to get hammered for having me on to talk about something other than sports. It's just kind of a standard response. You're also going to get hammered in the radio world, particularly the talk radio world that is largely white and largely older. They're going to jump your case if you take a position that's anything viewed as anything left. His ability to stay there and never even get shouted down. I mean, I don't even know an example of his boss ever saying, and I might do this if I were his boss because I think it's a little too much, and say, hey, Greg, first of all, cut the hair if you can. Secondly, man, enough already. Because it's almost as if now the only time you do hear from him, it's about this stuff. I don't even know the last time I heard him talking about basketball.
Yeah, well,
I know he's good at it. I know he's good at it. He's an amazing character that I think proves how unintentionally bigoted most people are. He gets away with stuff that the public would never let, without criticizing him, would never let a younger guy or a younger black guy get away with saying.
Well, and I'll bring up two perfect examples then. If your idea is correct, Jeff, then I always feel like three NBA coaches right now get asked about these issues: Popovich, Doc Rivers, and Steve Kerr. So your assertion would be that Doc Rivers and Steve Kerr are going to get hammered for saying stuff like that, but somehow Pop just kind of floats off into his own world and nobody gets on him.
Yeah, because he's old and white. You know, Doc Rivers is old, so Doc Rivers, this is not new territory for him either. Popovich, again, I mean, you go back, I don't know when it was exactly. It was probably last summer. Shaka Smart said something. I know he's already been fired and his credibility is pretty, or I'm sorry, he left. his credibility is less than stellar in Austin. But, you know, people are on his case. That's it. If you don't shut up and just coach, I'm going to get rid of my tickets. It's just not, those kind of comments. Those shut up and coach things you don't hear very often to Greg Popovich. If you were to break down, if you go back and have no life whatsoever and break down the criticism on Fox News of celebrities talking, I bet you Greg Popovich outnumbers comments by any celebrity by 1,000 to 1. I bet they're harsher than any other celebrity you can think of. And I'll bet you every other celebrity has been criticized on Fox News 100 times more than Greg Popovich has ever even been mentioned. He's never mentioned there, yet they'd be the first ones to jump on LeBron James or Doc Rivers or, you know, Tom Brady, if Tom Brady ever said anything. But they would never jump on Greg Popovich.
Talking with Jeff Ward, Statesman News Network, jeffwardshow.com. Trey, do you have something else on the Popovich thing? I had another question popped in my head on a different subject.
No, I guess the only other thought I have on that is whether it's Popovich, Steve Kerr, any of the players, like, it's fine voicing your opinion. You just need to be consistent. And we saw some inconsistencies nearly 2 years ago when China's role in various things going on in that part of the world came up, and Daryl Morey, who is not somebody that I'm generally a fan of. I think his version of basketball is ugly and it's bad for the game, but he actually had the guts to speak up about some atrocities that the Chinese government was committing. And so China was pissed off about that. It threatened the NBA's relationship with that country. And you saw everybody else, Popovich and Steve Kerr included, towing this line versus trying to speak up for their fellow human. And I think that is unfortunately hypocritical. And whatever point that you're making in every other aspect of life, if you choose to cherry pick when you're actually going to stick up for humans, it compromises the entirety of whatever the message is that you're trying to get out at all other times.
Wow, that was pretty righteous. Yeah. I mean, of course, but that is one good thing about the world we live in now. One of the problems with the world we live in now is people don't shut up and everybody thinks that social media is bigger than it really is. But if you're going to go there, you're going to go there with some risk. I mean, you want to take a protest, you want to take on a cause, whether you're a corporation or an athlete or a coach or a talk show host, you want to go there. It's going to come with some pushback, which is fine. I mean, I think, that's a healthy process. For every time, to your point, every time you want to say, you know, stop whatever atrocities are occurring in the United States, but you want to gloss over and make some money doing commercials in China, you deserve to hear it there too. Good. I mean, the same thing is happening with corporations that are taking very flimsy positions and saying things in Georgia and Texas. They're being called out elsewhere as well, and that's okay. That's why you should always tell people, you want to go there, you're going to go there and get ready for what comes your way. Otherwise, just shut your face.
Hey, Jeff, one last, we going non-sports related, or are we sticking with sports for right now, Chad?
You do whatever you want.
Okay. I mean, you've seen Greg Popovich's hair, right?
Yes.
No, he looks like my dad right now. My dad looks like he lives under 183 at Burnett Road.
Oh, man.
To me, he looks like that guy who always showed up at the Lakers games. Who was the guy with the gray hair that used to show up at the Lakers games? That's who he looks like to me.
Oh, the actor? You mean?
That dude that used to hang out with Jack Nicholson. He's a musician or something? He's a music guy? You know? Long.
I think Popovich looks like the old professor in Back to the Future.
Ah, a little Doc Brown. Yeah, a little bit. He's got a little Doc Brown. He should carry a picture of Thomas Edison around with him. That'd be good. That'd be solid. All right, Trey. Normally you finish with the non-sports, you know, controversial question for Jeff. So where are you going to go now?
We've been hanging on for a thread with the sports stuff, I guess, throughout the entirety of this conversation. Before we get to that, though, Jeff, I am curious. Do you follow Texas Longhorn spring football at all? Like, are you to a point in your life where that's just not as big of a concern for you, or do you care enough that you're reading the insider reports to see which left tackle is looking the best through a couple weeks of practice?
Yeah, a few answers to that. No, I don't hang on a thread to spring football, and nor do I, I'm sorry to bother the audience, nor do I recommend that other people do that as well, because practice and spring practice in particular is like saying you're really good at the driving range.
I agree with that.
I hate to break it down, but I am not. I mean, look, it doesn't mean they're not practicing. It doesn't mean they're not doing interesting things. I'm just saying the takeaway, pro and con, that I've heard through the years to practice, and in particular spring practice, is absurd. That's like Chad saying he's really good at Top Golf.
I am a Top Golf master.
Again, I don't want to pour water on some football fan. I would just always caution you, you better be careful your takeaways, because it's, you only know, here's the reality, you only know what you have when you turn the lights on. That's when you know.
Totally agreed. Yep. And that's why there are guys who are practice first players and guys who, for whatever reason, turn it on when the lights come on. James Brown is a great example from Texas football lore. A guy who was a terrible practice player, but for whatever reason, when it mattered, he turned into a different quarterback.
Yeah, it's so funny you mention him. I think if I were to make a list of underrated Texas players, that James Brown is near the top. I don't know if we ever appreciated or appreciate to this day how good he was, how efficient he was, how well he ran an offense. I don't know anyone else. I mean, I'm sure I can come up with other players historically. I just don't know of anyone else that I can remember that I feel like has ever been as underappreciated for what he brought to the table than James Brown. I just think he was that good.
Yeah. Was there anybody that you...
And I don't know what... And I still to this day, I'm sort of wondering, I wonder how he got lost. I know if it was the time frame, there were some really, really talented teams in there. And I don't know how he got lost in the shuffle of talking about great players. Hmm. How did he get lost in the shuffle? You just mentioned his name. It makes me wonder. And maybe other people don't think he's as good as I do or did.
Yeah.
I just look at him as one of the most efficient quarterbacks, just moving the chains and getting a team up and down a field, and his ability to do so much stuff.
He was a multi-year starter, too. He wins the first Big 12 championship in a game that nobody gave the Longhorns a chance to beat that Nebraska team.
I know.
Yeah.
I found him maybe the style of play was so understated. His mannerisms were understated. I loved the way he ran his offense.
Yeah, I would tell anybody who is not familiar with James Brown's work, either pull up the 96 game against A&M or the 96 Big 12 championship game. One of those two. That's who.
Chad, here's the thing about him. Again, we can all sit here and talk about, you know, guys who are great when you're beating UTEP by 55. That doesn't matter. You really measure a player on the biggest stages. And that guy was clutch in the biggest games. That guy delivered. I loved him as a player. And I think, yeah, you're exactly right. The games you mentioned are the biggest stage, the most important games, and he delivered.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, last question, Jeff. This is non-sports, but it's actually not going to be as politically divisive as most of the things that I ask you at the end of our conversations. I know, everybody's disappointed right now.
I hate to hear that,
So sad.
Are you going to talk about massages again or your experience? Yeah. I'm thinking about this is a terrible reference for you, but I was just thinking, you mentioned that you and some massage therapists, and I was wondering, how do I say this?
Oh, gosh, here we go.
Well, you admitted things that I just was really shocked that you would admit about how you were offered services.
Yeah.
And then now we're starting to learn more about, we don't know what was consensual or non-consensual with Deshaun Watson, and it's a world I never knew existed. And then it makes me circle back to your comments.
Okay, it's funny you say that, Jeff, because I mentioned this on the show last week. Deshaun Watson has ruined massages for the rest of us. I don't know if I'm comfortable getting naked for a massage anymore because I don't want anything taken the wrong way.
Well, what are you going to do, man?
I'm not doing anything, but who knows at this point?
That's what I said to him, Jeff. It's like, well, come on. If you know how to conduct yourself, then that's not going to matter.
I don't think the rest of us have. I've never had that issue. I've never even walked in thinking, well, I better be careful here.
I've never had that. Just to be clear, I've never had that issue either. I just don't want it to get anywhere close to that.
Oh, my God.
It's like, you know, okay, anyhow, you're distracting from the question at hand. I commend you for that. But my question for you is that it feels like we're starting to see this acceleration back to normal from the COVID issues that we've been dealing with over the last 13 months. Has your sense of when we actually get back to quote unquote normal and things are starting to operate at 100% capacity, has that shifted at all in the last couple of weeks? And if so, when do you think we actually see that point?
I think this is not Donald Trump's fault. I think what to do and how to go about handling COVID and when to wear a mask and not wear a mask and what is herd immunity and not herd immunity. I think it has been the worst example of communication strategy I've ever heard. We never know what's going on, and we hear 75 different things. The governor of Texas saying herd immunity, when you turn around and read the Wall Street Journal what herd immunity really means. He says we're open for business, but we're really not open for business. I know it's a complicated issue, and I know the medical world has, we're a little bit all over the map, but the communication strategy is horrible. You get vaccinated, you need to wear a mask. Why? When exactly do we open? What is open? I just think we're at fatigue. I think people, if we're not careful, you know, this is one of the criticisms I had of Greg Abbott. Not that he was wrong, that the math is starting to work in our favor. In other words, the number of infections plus the number of vaccinations gets us to a good place. It's sad to say that infections took us there, but it is reality. That's the vaccine is the same thing as the infection. You're getting the antibodies. But what I think is miserable is the communication is so inconsistent. He's saying we're at herd immunity, but I don't know what herd immunity is. Well, my concern then is some jackass is going to hear that and say, well, I don't want that vaccine. Why don't you bother with that? So I think we're numb and full of fatigue. And I think if you're inclined to move forward, you're just going to move forward, even if you don't really know you should. And I think another section of the population is not going to find a way forward until somebody with some credible voice tells them to. So my answer is, I don't think we know, except you're right, that a percentage of the population is saying, screw it, I can't take it anymore. I've been vaccinated, so deal with it.
And to your point, this may be the worst crisis management in any of our lifetimes.
It is. It is. It really is. The only person, and that's because Joe Biden can't communicate very well anyway, so he can't really put sentences together. So he's the only person I know that keeps saying the same thing. Hey, just go get vaccinated. Just Anthony Fauci, I hate to go Trump, but Anthony Fauci talks so much, it gets confusing. His messages are hard to follow. And I know it's complicated. I mean, to your point, I mean, I know that. But it just feels like, do you know when we're supposed to open up? Does anybody really know? What is that message?
Fauci himself is saying that we're going to be going maskless in movie theaters by late fall or early winter. So hopefully the most skeptical of people are starting to turn their opinions around now.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer it other than I don't think the simple responses are resonating to the rest of us. And I think we needed sort of simple responses. Hey, Austin, Texas, this is when you can open your business. This is when you should open your business. If you choose not, then don't do it. I think it's been terrible communications. And I know it's not easy, but I just don't think there's very many singular voices. And I thought the governor had some cover recently when he said, hey, we get to open up. And I think he's right when he says the math is in our favor. But then when he screwed it up by saying we're close to herd immunity, but I don't know what herd immunity is. Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? I mean, why'd you say that? I think it's true of most people. You know, I tell this to my students, stop talking. Just don't talk so much. Be quiet, because people vomit words.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Who's to say we can't end on a lighter note with Jeff Ward? Bingo.
Vomiting words comes from talk show hosts, right?
Exactly, right. And coming up, we're going to talk more. Jeff,
we're going to talk more.
That's right. Jeff Ward, Statesman News Network, jeffwardshow.com. He's at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter if you want to check him out. Jeff, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good stuff, as always. All right, coming up, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL all did the exact same thing yesterday. We'll tell you what that was and why it needed to happen, in their opinion. And at 1:45, Trey is going to maybe reset some of his thoughts on the late DMX. You're going to want to be here for that on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Father of mine, tell me, where have you been? You know, I just close my eyes, my whole world disappeared. Father of mine, take me back to the day. Yeah, when I was still your girl.
All right, it is Tuesday. That means Trey's connecting the music to one of the new to his new podcast at Books on Pod. Pay attention. What do you got, Trey?
Yeah, this is Father of Mine by Everclear. Keyword is father, because my most recent episode involves Michaeline Duclef. She is a science reporter for NPR and the author of Hunt, Gather, Parent, What Ancient Cultures Can Teach Us About the Lost Art of Raising Happy, Helpful Little Humans. It's a fascinating conversation. There is a ton of good advice in this book, some of which we get into in our chat. Well worth your time if you're a parent, or if you're just someone interested in hearing how other cultures do things in a way that might be a little bit more effective than how we do it here in the West. Check it out, booksonpod.com. Search Books on Pod with Trey Elling wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to the Books on Pod landing page through hornfm.com.
All right, remember baseball tonight with Nevada, 6:30 start for Texas, 6:15 pregame. They're trying to win their ninth game in a row, and you'll hear it right here on the Horn. We talked about this story of three different professional leagues postponing games. We'll get to that, but there is a breaking story in the NFL. I don't know if this turns into anything else for other teams, but there's a story involving the Broncos today. If one of our coworkers, Christina, is out there, is a big Broncos fan. KK, pay attention to this. Broncos players have announced they will not attend any voluntary workouts this offseason. They are citing the lack of, in their mind, good protocols in terms of COVID. They're citing the fact that the numbers around Denver are, what they've seen, higher than they were this time last year. Trey, they're also saying that with the virtual offseason in 2020, we actually still saw a good product in the NFL. So they're putting all that together, and the NFLPA is backing them up on this, obviously, and they're encouraging other teams to look into everything and ask questions and find out what's going on. So the Broncos will not do, and again, this is for the voluntary workouts. This is not training camp. Let's make sure we're clear about this. Voluntary workouts, which are supposed to be just that, they are exercising their right to not go.
The Denver Broncos were 5-11 in 2020. Last place in the AFC West. Yeah, the football was competitive and it was compelling at certain junctures, but I don't know if the Broncos get to lump themselves into that category.
Now, the bottom of this statement does say, couldn't do much worse. So I don't know if that's going to be an argument for this. You're arguing that maybe a sixth or seventh win could be found if you actually show up to voluntary workouts?
I don't know. I just think that they're using rationale that the proof is not necessarily in the pudding, Chad.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. All right, so keep your eyes peeled for that story. Also, we will see what happens in multiple sports after this shooting in Minnesota. And man, of all the cities in the country right now that might need your love and your thoughts and your prayers and your crossed fingers and all of that, Minneapolis, Minnesota might be it, because you've got the officer that killed George Floyd. That trial is going on right now. There's high levels of security. They already had security in place for these Twins games where the road team was not even, you know, in a hotel in the city, and they were really trying to be careful. But yesterday, Twins, Timberwolves, and the Wild all had a game scheduled at home. They ended up postponing them just to make sure, to try to be as safe as they could. By the way, the basketball game has been rescheduled for 3 o'clock this afternoon without fans in the arena. But this shooting over the weekend. If you missed it, the young man's name was Dante Wright. He was 20 years old. He was shot and killed by a 26-year-old police officer, Minneapolis police officer, a white female police officer, if that matters. He is a 20-year-old black male, if that matters. And
does it matter that he's actually mixed race? Honest question. Because I keep hearing black male, and he certainly is black, and I guess probably right. as a result of his skin color gets identified more as black than anything else, but that's he is fair. Mixed race, if it matters.
That's true, yes. To give all the facts there. And then, basically, he was shot and killed outside of Minneapolis. They pulled him over on an outstanding warrant of some sort. They had him outside the car. You can go watch the body cam footage. Trey and I watched it earlier today. He's outside the car, and he's handcuffed. They are clearly about to, you know, book him, put him in the car, whatever. He then decides to jump back in the car. And as he's doing that, this woman runs up, the sort of third cop on the scene, if you will. She runs up and she keeps repeating out loud, I'm going to tase you. Taser, taser, taser is what she keeps screaming. And then she says, I'm going to tase you, I'm going to tase you. She pulls out, I guess what she believed was a taser. It was actually her gun. She shoots him in the chest and he dies. Not immediately, because then I believe he actually drives the car away at one point. But then he dies later, and you hear her on the camera say, it's her body cam, and she says, oh my God, I shot him. And they look at her like, what? Because they heard her saying taser, 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 you know, multiple times. So Trey, it's a horrible situation. Obviously, both sides of this situation were not exemplary, but in the case of the police officer, obviously this is deadly force being used where you are clearly yelling for other kinds of force. That's why a taser exists. It was the perfect moment for it, and then it just didn't happen.
Yeah, and his hands weren't still handcuffed when he jumped back in the car. It certainly doesn't justify the...
Wait, he got out of the handcuffs?
He wasn't in the handcuffs. His hands were back in front of his body. I don't know if one hand was still, or one wrist was still cuffed, maybe.
Okay.
But it doesn't beget just such a fatal mistake.
Oof,
and
terrible.
I believe technically she resigned. She would have been fired otherwise. That is an inexcusable mistake, and it's just another sad tragedy, Chad. And unfortunately, it happens in that same part of the country where George Floyd was murdered nearly a year ago.
Yeah, just that high level of sensitivity already. They've got that trial going on right now. And you put this right on top of it, and everybody's going to, you know, just get into the discussion of it. And you know, it's nowadays, so it has to be immediately who's right, who's wrong, and who do we blame, and all these things. But, yeah, I mean, it's clearly this is a person, and I think the police department is already just backed down on everything. This is clearly a person that can't be a street cop anymore. And if you can't tell the difference between a loaded gun and your taser as you draw that particular weapon, you just can't do that job.
Well, and apparently this
ever.
Apparently this isn't a one-off either. Apparently
for
this
her?
Has happened, not for her,
oh.
just generally speaking. Like, it has happened to police officers across the country, including in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area in the past. It doesn't make sense to me how you could confuse those two things. There needs to be a very clear distinction between when you're reaching for one and when you're reaching for the other.
Now, I'll admit, I do not have a lot of experience with either handguns or tasers. Are they that similar? Are they that similar a device when you're firing?
The tasers that I've seen police officers use, yes, they do look somewhat similar to a handgun.
Are they supposed to? I wonder, is that part of the point? Do you want to freak them out as you're pointing it at them?
Perhaps there's something deep-rooted psychological going on there, but I just feel like it's something that's simpler to point and actually fire off accurately.
And I'm reading that she would be considered a veteran officer. She's 26 years old, but she's been on the force a while. So it's not like, it would be inexcusable on your first day. It's inexcusable 2 weeks in, but apparently this is a few years in. And even in that situation, I understand things that escalated there. You don't want him driving that car away, especially if he's handcuffed in any way. That would be that could be dangerous. I get it. You want to try to detain him at that situation. But wow. So I'm sure we'll find out the detail of what exactly was this warrant. How bad was the outstanding warrant that you felt like you needed to jump back in that car once they had you out and they're handcuffing you? What What was it?
Yeah, the details, the further details of this case, I'm sure will help shed some light on things. But in the meantime, just an awful mistake that has led to the unnecessary loss of life.
Yeah, and let's hope folks in that area can find some peace, and there will not be even more, even more unrest and violence in that part of the world. We'll continue to watch that story, and obviously, Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and sports in general are going to continue to pay attention to that story and try to be as sensitive to it as they can. A lot of NBA guys and baseball players and hockey players were reacting to that yesterday, and coaches. We talked about Greg Popovich briefly, Popovich and Doc Rivers, and a lot of people with their thoughts on that story, and I'm sure a lot of people will have their thoughts on it in the next couple of days. Keep your eyes open and peeled for that. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Mel Kiper's got a 2-round mock draft with 2 Longhorns in it, so we will get to that coming up at the top of the hour. I'm done, I promise. Up next, where are we at in society? Trey might have some, updated thoughts on DMX. We'll see what happened in the day or so since we talked about the late DMX. That's where we at in society coming up. Also, we're asking you to cast the Horn movie. Who should play all of us? We've got some great ideas, including a really good idea for who should play Kevin Dunn. That's coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Starting the 30-second countdown right there, Chad.
It was well done finding the crying baby. I forgot about the crying baby at the beginning of that song.
Damn it, I forgot about the extended in... There we go.
There you go, Stevie. Isn't she lovely? Little Stevie Wonder. Trey's connecting all the music to a podcast. Pay attention. Here we go, Trey. Trying to make people better parents. I mean, come on.
Didn't realize this, that Stevie Wonder wrote that song in honor of the birth of his daughter, Aisha.
Okay.
So it's makes sense when you listen to the lyrics. But that is being done because my shameless podcast promotion for today, as inspired by the music. Today's conversation, the most recent episode, is with Michaeline Duclef. She is the author of Hunt, Gather, Parent, What Ancient Cultures Can Teach Us About the Lost Art of Raising Happy, Helpful Little Humans. It's a chat that is well worth your time, whether or not you are a parent, but especially if you're a parent, because there is some really great advice, simple advice that can really help with some of the disobedience that you experience as a parent towards those children.
All right, so we'll get to where we at in society coming up. We are getting some great ideas, continue to get great ideas on the text line. Specs text line is 337-3776. We are casting the Horn movie today because we're on Twitch now. You're seeing us a little more. Kevin and Paul on the EGAT podcast. Everyone gets a trophy. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. They were casting each other for the movie, if you will, and we just expanded the idea out. But I got a couple quick ideas. Somebody texted us the name Patrick Wilson. For Kevin.
Okay.
It's a pretty good call. That actor, and ironically, I think Patrick Wilson could play either Kevin or Paul or Scipio Tex. I think he kind of looks like each one of them. Patrick Wilson, look that name up. That may be a good one for Kevin. And someone has a suggestion, Trey, for Jeff Ward. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I almost made it through without laughing. I do not think Bill Cowher looks like Jeff Ward.
No.
But I'd love to see the portrayal. I'd love to see him try to pull it off.
I don't know if Bill Cowher has the acting chops.
I don't know if he does either. No, I don't know if he does either. I think someone is suggesting that the guy that played Turtle play me. Was his name Ferreira?
Oh, yeah, Jerry Ferreira. Big Knicks fan, Jerry Ferreira. I see him tweeting about the Knicks.
Somebody wants Kevin Bacon to play Kevin Dunn. Somebody else wants Craig Kilborn to play Kevin Dunn.
Kilborn could work.
Kilborn could play you, too.
I feel that way, so yeah. Thank you for that. Well, I still think that we're set on you with either Kevin Bacon or Steve Carell. One of those two is going to work well for you.
I could go with the Steve Carell. Here's the other one I thought of for you. You brought up in a break, what's the man, the guy that played Dale Earnhardt and Roger Maris? What you said, hang on, I think I wrote it down. Pepper.
Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper's a good call. He could play you. Here's another one. What about Giovanni Ribisi? Could he be Trey Elling?
I've never seen him as a blonde before.
No, okay. I feel like he could pull that off.
Maybe.
Maybe I just want to see Giovanni.
Is that because of the bags under my eyes today? Is that what made you think of that?
No, I just think he's got a great serious face like you do.
Okay.
He's got a good serious face. He's a good-looking dude. But he can do intensity and seriousness and darkness, and he's complex.
I've got it.
Okay.
For me, Matthew McConaughey. I've spoken with him before.
That is a bold choice to say Matthew McConaughey should just play you.
Here's the thing. We know McConaughey because this is probably going to extend over like 20 years, this movie, right? So Matthew McConaughey, he is committed to going as fat or as thin as possible for the role.
Oh, which you'll, okay.
So we could get the balloon-like expansion and contraction with him that really signifies the various points of my life.
Oh, my God. Why don't we just bring it full circle and have Brandon Lang play you? Since Matthew played Brandon, then we'll just bring it around.
We just have to sell him on the part by telling him that we don't want him to play me.
That's correct.
And then he'll do everything in his power to make that happen.
Then he'll go the other way. All right, let's try to get where we at in society in here because I want to hear what Trey has to say.
Where are we at in society today?
Okay, so I apparently created a firestorm last week talking about DMX.
Yes, you did.
And maybe diminishing how others felt about DMX. Like, there were some people who were legitimately upset with me on Twitter and elsewhere after our show on Friday.
Did you tell me former Longhorns were getting after you?
Tim Crowder was upset because somebody had mentioned me ranking Will Smith ahead of DMX.
Mm.
And the only reason why I brought Will Smith up is because people started to bring up DMX's acting career and that he was in Belly and a couple of other movies, a Steven Seagal movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, look, if we're bringing up like full scope entertainment careers, then Will Smith is probably, he ends up higher up on that list than DMX does. Not probably, he does.
Now that argument I would agree with.
But if we're talking about pure rappers, and this is what I said at the time, DMX is not top 30 and he's probably not top 50 either. And that's what incensed people. So I went back and looked into DMX a little bit more over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And here's what I'm willing to admit, Chad.
Okay.
DMX was a bigger deal for a 5 to 7 year period than I was giving him credit for on Friday. And for that, to anybody who was that upset with me, I apologize.
All right.
Now, I also went through a number of reputable sources that cover hip-hop for a living and found top 50, top 100 rappers of all time lists, and DMX fell outside of the top 30 more often than he was inside the top 30. So I'm still okay saying that DMX, who was very important for his era, it was a transitionary era in hip-hop, and his started in the mid-90s, but he really gained that fame and notoriety around the turn of the century when hip-hop was in a transition, and he was an important figure in that regard. He was contrarian in a lot of ways. He represented where he came from and where a lot of people came from better than how it was being represented in mainstream rap at that time, and those things all matter. And he did spawn some copycats. And so ultimately, I am comfortable putting DMX top 50 rappers of all time, but he still probably falls outside of top 30 rappers of all time. And my initial question on Friday was, where do we slot DMX? Who does he belong with? Who does he get grouped with?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to enrage some people, and they get put there for very different reasons because they're obviously very different as rappers and as individuals. But DMX and Will Smith are probably pretty close to one another.
So you're saying now you will admit somewhere between 31 and 50.
Yes.
DMX lives there.
Right around where Will Smith is.
Okay.
And for anybody who's upset about that right now, here's why Will Smith probably belongs right there with DMX. Because while DMX was able to keep it real in a way that not a lot of other dudes were at the time and shed light on certain ways of life in areas that were hit socioeconomically very different from how middle America had experienced their upbringing, Will Smith was also somebody who maybe opened that genre up to more people, where, yes, that is very much bubblegum rap. It's not taking a whole lot of risks, and obviously he went pop beyond belief in the latter part of his hip-hop career, where he was literally attaching singles that he was creating to movies that were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is shilling to an impressive degree. But I think he was able to also open a lot of people's ears up to a genre that then they were able to further explore. So both guys are important in their own right. And ultimately, when it's all said and done, Both are probably pretty close to one another in the all-time rap rankings.
I feel like as you're saying these things, DMX fans are insulted and Will Smith fans are nodding. Like, yeah.
Yes.
That's what I feel like is happening for both groups of people.
I feel like even Will Smith fans are disagreeing with me right now, but that's how I feel about things, and that's the great thing about these conversations is we all have our own opinions, and feel free to pile on to me now.
Especially in music snobbery. Everybody does have their opinions. By the way, just as a quick thought before the break, how do you think rap fans react when you or I try to use the phrase keeping it real? You think that goes over
well? Did I say that?
You did.
Oh, boy.
I thought you did okay.
I apologize.
It wouldn't have been as crazy as if I'd try to say it in a sentence.
Because I didn't go keeping. I went keeping.
You did have... It was
keeping it real.
I felt the apostrophe. I felt the... The G. I didn't feel a G at the end.
They probably don't feel very good about it. And neither do I. I'm with you on that one, people.
That's all we try to do around here, Trey, is keep it real. We just try to keep it real. All right, there's some more DMX thoughts for you. Rest in peace to DMX, gone way too soon at age 50 late last week. The rap world losing DMX, and there's been plenty of discussion. All right, coming up, always discussion about the NFL draft as we close in on draft day. Mel Kiper's got a 2-round mock out there today. It involves the Cowboys and a trade, and two Longhorns are represented. We'll talk about where they end up coming right up on the Horn.